more thoughts now on individuality and collective consciousness on a day when society is thinking about solidarity and outrage over the events in Europe. We are increasingly aware that our online thoughts and data are not our own. As our society grows in density and numbers, we can see the decisions of individuals as more a product of some collective outlook. Whether it is the vicious programming of jihadists or simple marketing of soap, who is in control of your destiny? Kara Miller, host of the show Innovation Hub, produced by our partner WGBH in Boston, says the science of human decision-making is becoming an exciting focus of researchers. Great to talk to you again, Kara.
Great to talk to you, John.
So let's talk a little bit about decisions and the science of decision making. Are people really viewing this as psychology, neurobiology?
I think it's all of those things related, but I think one of the most interesting findings to come out of a lot of the recent research in labs across the country, even overseas, I talked to people at McGill, is that you really have a separation between what we intend to do and how decisions are actually made. And some of the really interesting research comes from the lab of Nicholas Christakis at Yale. And he's found that many things that we think are a matter of our own willpower, right? Like our body size or how much we're going to exercise or whether we vote or whatever. They're actually catchable. So they're kind of like the flu. Here's Christakis talking about what he and his colleagues have discovered.
We have been able to show using both observational and experimental methods that seemingly very personal things like your emotional state or your body size or how kind you are or whether you vote or not depends on whether other people around you do that and even other people you don't know. So if your friends' friends' friends are kind or your friends' friends vote, this can ripple through the network and affect you.
Now, there's a little chicken and egg problem in here. Is he convinced that you're actually catching something from your friends as opposed to just sort of hanging out with kind people?
Yes. So, I mean, he has studied these networks a lot. And actually, what first got him started was this very common effect, the widowhood effect, where very often a spouse will die not too long after the first spouse dies. Or that's been well known for a long time. And he is a medical doctor, and he was noticing that it was happening. But then he was noticing that it wasn't just spouses. It was friends of spouses and friends of spouses, people who didn't even know the spouse who was deceased, that ended up becoming sick as a result of somebody that they didn't know becoming sick and passing away. What he's finding is something very much beyond, all the cool kids are smoking kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? This is networks of people that are beyond people you've ever met influencing you.
Of course, marketers will tell you that it is important to be cool, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know what's interesting, too, is that marketers are picking up on this. So you have companies now, very new companies, that are actually looking through Instagram photos and trying to figure out some of these networks, some of these emotions, and actually scanning for whether people are happy in a photo and then trying to figure out how they and their network then should be marketed to. So you already have marketers picking up on that. And I talked to Jennifer Lerner at Harvard, who has looked not just at how other people undermine our decisions, but also how our own brain undermines our decisions. So in one of her experiments, basically all she did was show people a clip from a sad movie or have them write about something sad, and she saw that their decisions completely changed.
We find that people will sell their possessions for significantly less money when they're sad than they would in a neutral state, because they're eager to get rid of it, and they are willing to pay much more to buy various goods when they are in a sad state. We ask them, did your feelings as a result of watching that movie clip or writing what you wrote, did your feelings in any way affect your buying price? They say, what, are you kidding me? No, absolutely not, because they think that would be irrational.
Now that is fascinating. That is really, really fascinating. But it can't all be moods. Isn't there, learning by example? Isn't there, somebody does something that, everyone sees and goes, oh, I want to be like them?
Oh, for sure. And, you see that in ecosystems like I would submit to Hollywood, where people are much thinner than they are in the rest of the country. What happened there in some sense, and Nicholas Christakis from Yale will talk about this, is that somebody seeded that network with an idea that thinness is desirable. And somehow that idea sort of emanated out from the person who came up with it and completely shifted the perception of everybody in the network. And so you think like you're making a decision, you're making your own decision about how thin you want to be and you're in Hollywood. But in fact, subtly, there's all sorts of things that are undermining that decision, right? There's all sorts of other influences that you just are totally unconscious of.
We are largely products of our social networks. But even if that's the case, our work also shows that your actions affect others. When you make a positive change in your life, when you act kindly towards others, when you vote, when you express joy and happiness towards others, it doesn't just benefit you, it benefits those people and, in fact, ripples out and could affect many, many other people.
It's Nicholas Christakis of Yale. So to use the Hollywood example that you brought up, Harvey Weinstein is a renegade in Hollywood, so therefore he has to be a larger fellow than the thin folks you describe.
Well, now, every single person I talked to, all of whom were researching this idea of decision making and how, you know, our decisions are undermined in some way, every single person said, look, there are always outliers. There are always people who look at the way that a network is behaving and will be the one or two people who will say, you know what? No, everybody's acting in a mean way, but I'm going to be nice. Everybody's acting in a nice way, but I'm going to be mean. Right. There are always people who, in some ways, I talked about decision-making being a contagion a little bit, are immune to the contagion, just as, you know, people all over the place are immune to different sorts of contagions. I also asked people, I said to them, you know, this research scares me a little bit. Does this mean that if you know certain things about me, like who I associate with and, you know, my emotion and maybe my gender, that you can predict what I'm going to do? Jennifer Lerner said, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And Nicholas Christakis said, I kind of can, but it also means that your power to affect other people is magnified, even if your power to affect yourself maybe is a little less than you thought.
Kara Miller, host of WGBH's Innovation Hub, which you can now hear on WNYC. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving, with brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program. Performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.